verse in Romans chapter 8. You might even have it circled or underlined in your Bible. Anybody got one of those?
28.
You guys believe the Bible is the Word of God, right?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. And so when the Bible says it, that settles it.
Amen.
Right? Well, we have a verse here that we have to believe. And if you believe this verse, I think it'll comfort you a whole lot. Romans 8:28 says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose."
Right.
Let's all read that together. Can we do that? Are you guys ready? You guys there? Romans 8? Okay, here we go. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before You this morning, and I thank You for each one here today. I thank You for our church. Thank You for the blessing it is to have a Bible. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our fears. You know our cares. Lord, this morning, You know, we especially, that we are concerned for some folks in our church that are ill. I pray for the McMahon family. Pray for the Gonzalez family, especially Brother Antonio, that You'd care for them. I pray for any that are sick today in our church, that You'd care for them. We pray for Mrs. Nail, that You'd care for her as well. And Lord, help us to remember that when two or three are gathered together in Your name, that You're there in the midst. And I pray that You would increase our numbers, but Lord, more than that, increase our faith.
Amen.
And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go back to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start in verse 1. And you have a handout. I'm not going to really be diligent with the handout, but I'll show you a few things that are there. We've been studying the Holy Spirit. And anybody tell me something that you may have learned about the Holy Spirit, either in this class or maybe just when reading your Bible or in general, something that just stands out to you about the Holy Spirit. Anybody? Brother Leo.
Yeah, I find that if I keep my heart open to the Spirit, He guides me and He teaches me.
Okay, that the Holy...
He shows me things in God's Word that I've never seen before, even though I've read the Bible many times.
Okay, that's two or three things, but I like that last one real well. When you read your Bible, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit will speak to us.
Amen.
You ever read something in the Bible and you thought, what does that mean? And you don't know? You know who knows? The Holy Spirit knows.
Amen.
And so I've read my Bible before, and I've thought, I don't know what that means. And I pray and ask God to show me, and He'll show you. It's not a supernatural thing. It is, I guess, but it's just, that's the way the Holy Spirit works. And He'll lead us. He'll guide us in our life as well. What else have you learned about the Holy Spirit? And I'll tell you what I'm thinking when I'm done here. Anybody else? Yes, sir. He's the comforter, and I was thinking about that this week when I was laying in bed sick, and thinking, Lord, You call Yourself, He says He's the God of all comfort, and He can comfort us. Amen? So here's something that you're going to see in chapter 8 that has become very real to me. And again, we've gone through now, if you've been with us for the whole class, and the young people have not, but some of you have, we've started back in Genesis. And back away in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And we have looked at every verse in the Bible that we can find about the Holy Spirit. We looked at what the Holy Spirit does in the Old Testament. And then we came and we looked at the Holy Spirit in the Gospels. And then we looked at the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Now we're finishing the book of Romans. And we're going to go all the way through the New Testament. And the question is, what should you and I expect from the Holy Spirit? Now, one thing I can tell you, and you're going to see it here as soon as I read these verses to you. If you are saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Amen?
Amen? Now, by the time we get to verse 28 in Romans chapter 8, a lot has been said, and we're going to look at that. But the reason we read that verse a while ago is just to remind us, folks, God's in control. And what God is doing may not make sense to us, but what God is doing has a purpose. And it's a good purpose. And if you love the Lord, He has a purpose in your life, and the things that He does are for a reason. You ever had something bad happen and it turned out to be real good?
Yeah.
You thought it was bad. Maybe it wasn't all that bad. So those are the kind of things we're talking about. But let's go back and look at Romans chapter 8. I'm going to begin in verse 1. And if you want to follow along, I've kind of cut this handout down just a little bit. And so we're going to look at a few things there. Remembering that in Romans, that most of what's said about the Holy Spirit is in chapter 8 and chapter 15. And that's what we're looking at today's chapter 8. In my Bible, I made a note to myself. I don't know when I wrote this down, but I made this note right next to the chapter heading, the Spirit is the answer.
Amen.
And what I was going to tell you that I've learned about the Holy Spirit is this. There are things that you and I don't have control of in our life, in other people's lives, in our church, in our world. But just coming back to us, there are things in our life that we can't do, but the Holy Spirit can do. We really need the Holy Spirit to work. Now, today, if you go to some churches, they're going to tell you that if the Holy Spirit works, that people are going to do crazy things, or they're going to speak in some language, or they're going to do something. If you look in Romans, the practical, the Holy Spirit's practical. The things that the Holy Spirit does. If he worked in the life of our teenagers, for example, would he change them?
Amen.
Amen. If he worked in my life, he'd change me. If he worked in our church, he'd change our church. We need the Holy Spirit, not so that we can speak some tongue, but so that he can do practical things in our life. Yes, sir.
I've always looked at the binding tie that ties us to the Trinity. Jesus died for our sins, but the Holy Spirit replaced Jesus after he went up to be with his Father.
He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. But he refers to the Holy Spirit as the... Amen. That's good. All right, so everybody there, Romans chapter 8, you ready? We're going to start reading in verse 1. The Bible says, there is therefore, and I can't go back and read chapter 7, but we'll just trust that that's what it's there for. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's the very first thing that the Lord says. And then he reinforces that in verse 4. He says, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not, and here it is again, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After. What does that word after mean? Joey, what does the word after mean? It's hard to define, isn't it? If I'm walking along and Brother Dahlman's walking right behind me, he's after me, isn't he? Now, he may be after me, chasing me. We may be trying to get away from him. Or he may just be following me. But if I turn and he turns, he's walking after me, isn't he? Okay? That's not a bad definition of the word after. And we don't want to get too carried away with definitions, but... to be after is to be following. Brother Leo made the comment about the Holy Spirit leading us. Have you ever tried to lead somebody that won't follow? It happens, doesn't it? My wife and I have this new cat, and the cat has a mind of its own. And, you know, one thing I like about dogs, when you call them, they'll come to you. And when you call cats, they kind of look at you if they even do that. It's like, who do you think you are, you know? I'm my own boss. And unless they're hungry, then all of a sudden they're your best friend. When the Lord calls us, we have to follow, don't we? Now, here's a question for anybody here, but I'll direct it at our teenagers here. Anthony, when the Lord asks you to follow, does he make you follow, or do you have a choice? A choice, okay. For example, today, you think the Lord wants us to be in church?
Amen.
But we had a choice, didn't we? And, you know, today when we have folks that are ill, and do you think the Lord wants us to pray for them? Yeah. But we have a choice. And so following is something that we are given the opportunity to do, but it's not something that God's going to make us a robot. The word after, following, walking after the one who leads you, or maybe pursuing, trying to catch up to someone. Or maybe imitating, as in trying to be like or to act like someone. Or it's also a word that means that it's according to something. When someone cooperates or goes along with somebody else. Influenced by, as in when we're changed by someone. If there was an athlete, maybe a famous golfer, and you wanted to improve your golf swing, and you might watch how they do their golf swing, and then you might try and do the same thing. Or Brother Leo took me fishing, and Tim fishing, and Brother Leo, he had certain lures that he liked to catch fish on, and since I did not know anything, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what he's doing. I try to find the same kind of lure he had, and sure enough, it worked, and we caught some fish. So I'm imitating him. I'm doing what he does. So I think you got that one kind of clear, right? To be after the Holy Spirit is to want to do and follow and be what he wants us to be. Amen? Yes. Everybody okay with that?
Amen.
All right. And it's choice, isn't it? Now, do you think there's some advantages to it? Now, by the way, don't let me forget to just keep reminding you of this. There are some things God's going to do in you if you got saved. Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit will come and live in your heart. And there are some things he's going to do that are just, he's going to do them, and that's good. But we still have a free choice here. All right, so let's look at the handout just a little bit. And let's see some things in Romans chapter 8 that the Bible promises us because of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 2. Let's see, Anthony, are you there? Romans 8, 2, can you read that for me? Nice and loud. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If we want to be saved, someone says, I'll be saved by keeping the law. Can you do that?
No.
How do you know? What does the Bible say? Romans says in another place, maybe Galatians, I may have them backwards here, but by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's sort of like saying, I'm going to be perfect by keeping the traffic laws, but sooner or later all of us are going to speed either by accident or on purpose. Sooner or later all of us are going to run a stop sign somewhere or whatever. Did you hear, I was reading, I've had a lot of time to read lately. Some NASCAR driver was disqualified because one corner of his car was too high. And he thought he won first place in the race. And they measured his car, and one of the corners of his car was not the right height. And they took it away from him and gave it to somebody else. But he was disappointed, amen? Even if you tried to be good enough, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so we're not saved by keeping the law. But he says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Simply stated, the law can no longer condemn you.
Praise the Lord for that.
Amen? Now, does that mean we should go out and live like we want?
No.
If we go out and live like we want, are we going to suffer the consequences? Yes. There will be consequences for that. But it's not something that's going to send us to hell. He explains that in verse 3. He says, what the law couldn't do in that it was weak through the flesh. And there's that contrast we've got going in Romans 8, the flesh and the spirit. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, he was in flesh, but it was not sinful flesh. For sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here we go, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We're not living for the flesh, we're living for the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. Now, does the flesh still affect us?
Yes.
Romans chapter 7 had a lot to say about that. And yes, do we still live in a body of flesh? I know, because my flesh was just sick and I could feel it. But the flesh has sin in it. Sin dwells in your flesh. And the flesh is going to want things, and it's going to be subject to temptation and so on. All right, back on the handout then. So we are free from the law of sin and death. Now look at verse 5. They that are after, there's that word after again, they're following the flesh, do mind, and I'll explain that word to you in a second, the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What do you pay attention to? would be one way to say, what is your mind attentive towards? What do you think about? What are you inclined to think about? What do you agree with? What do you think is right and what do you think is wrong and those sorts of things? That's where the word mind comes from. And aren't there some people that are, they're all about something? Maybe they're all about making money, or maybe they're all about physical pleasure, or maybe somebody who gets hooked on drugs, they're just all about finding that drug one more time. And but the Bible says that you and I says that we are, if we're saved, that we should mind the things of the Spirit. And those are the things that we ought to pay attention to. And so that's a good question. How do you do that? How can you mind? How can you pay attention to the things of the Spirit?
Read the books.
Okay. You're going to find them in the Bible. That's true. If you read your Bible, I was laying in bed, really sick, not even really well enough to do much reading. And you know what really stuck in my mind was the 23rd Psalm. And we used to, when we were little children, we used to memorize that in Sunday school. Did you memorize that in Sunday school, Greg? Yeah, a lot of us did. Have you guys memorized the 23rd Psalm yet? Homework, amen. 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it goes on, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and you can read it later. But is the Lord your shepherd?
Amen.
Well, that kind of goes right along with what we're saying here, because if the Lord is our shepherd, then what we ought to do is we ought to follow him, and we ought to listen to him, and we ought to let him lead us. And how much of the time does God want to lead you? Like just Sunday morning?
All the time,
every morning when you wake up, every day, all day long. And do you think if you really wanted to follow God, do you think God would lead you every day?
Amen.
Amen. And so wouldn't hurt a thing. In fact, it's a great idea just to wake up and to pray, Lord, lead me today and show me what you want me to do. So in verse 5, he says that we ought to mind the things of the Spirit. And then in verse 6, he says to be carnally minded. The word carnal is that word flesh there, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. And that's just a simple way of saying that there's an adversarial relationship there. It's a opposition. It's a fight. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. If you're not saved and you want to be saved by doing good works and pleasing God, he says right here, you can't do that because your flesh and your carnal mind are opposed to God. And that's the way you are. That's the way you are when you're lost. Verse 9, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you see what he did with those words there? He talked about the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Again, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23:1. And Jesus said in John 10, I'm the great shepherd. And everybody knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd, but sometimes they don't realize that first word in Psalm 23, that word Lord means Jehovah. The Lord Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
Well, anyway, back over here in verse 9. So he says that we're in the Spirit if we are saved, is a really, really short version of that. He says, and if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to him. But in verse 10, he says, if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, and it's dead because of sin anyway, by the way. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And then it says in verse 11, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. I cannot tell you I understand everything about what that says, but I do know this. My life, as I live it now, depends on the Spirit of God and not upon my flesh.
Right.
And in fact, we're never going to die.
Amen.
there will be a time when our spirit and our body are separated, but my spirit will never be separated from God. And all these things are just things that the Spirit does when a person is saved. So we're not in the flesh, verse 9. He says, we have Christ in us, verse 9 and 10. He said, we're alive in Christ in verse 10. And now jump down to verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we're debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. And there's that word after again, if that's what you're pursuing. By the way, let's just talk about for a second. What is the flesh like? What is the flesh? What is it that the flesh really is all about?
Self.
Say it.
Self.
Self. Okay, self. That's a really good one. Okay.
Temporary.
Okay. Yeah, the temporary, because the flesh is temporary. Okay. Pleasure. Amen. Now, I've been thinking of carnal things more than we are. I mean, a Christian can be pleased and he can be comforted and he can have joy. But there's a kind of pleasure that the flesh really, really likes. What else is the flesh like?
Meanness.
Okay. The flesh, how do you explain that? The flesh, the works of the flesh, Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. I can't quote it right now. I usually can. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies. In Galatians chapter 5, those are the things the flesh does. And we'll look at that some other time when we get over to Galatians. We'll spend some time there. But Paul said it this way: in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Now, Paul was a pretty good guy, huh? If he could say, my flesh doesn't have anything good in it, I think we could too.
Sure. Amen.
And yet, we're stuck in this thing, but we're not stuck in the flesh alone. The Spirit of God lives in us as well.
Praise the Lord.
And that's our hope. If you ever find somebody and they just don't believe the Bible. In fact, lately it seems like I keep coming across folks that are just atheists and they just don't believe in God and they mock God and they say insulting things about God. And you're going to see it later. It's in the Bible. In Corinthians, you can't curse God in the Spirit. You know, when I read the first five verses in the Bible, in the beginning God created, I believe that with all my heart. And a lot of folks just say, oh, I can't believe that. Well, I just want you to know something. You need to let the Spirit of God talk to you. Because the Spirit of God is the one that said that. And the Spirit of God is the one that changes the way we think, isn't he? And he shows us things and lets us believe things that we wouldn't otherwise. Okay. So I'm trying to get through this handout here. We're just on time. He says in verse 13, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Well, let's talk about that word mortify. What does mortify mean?
Put away, allow to die.
What a mortician is, right?
Yeah.
A mortician deals with a deceased person. To mortify is to kill. Yeah. And so to put an end to it might be another way to say that. And so what is he saying to us here? He says in verse 11, he says, I'm sorry, not verse 11, verse 13, he says, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Now, that's a process. The body has, we mentioned earlier, things like selfishness, hatred, the flesh has those kind of things. But the Spirit can give us some victory over that, can't he? Amen?
Amen?
The Spirit can give us victory, and the Spirit can change us. And I give you this example. When you first got saved, would you agree with me, hopefully, that since you got saved, God has changed you?
Yes. Amen.
I was talking to somebody the other day about buying a house, and we've bought two or three different houses that were in really bad shape when we bought them, and we moved in and fixed them up. And if the door was broken, we took the door down and we fixed it and put it back up. And if the ceiling fan was missing, we put a new one in. And if the light switch was not working, we made it work. And when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, he's going to change us.
Amen.
And it's a work that takes time, but it's something that he will do. Now, if you frustrate the Spirit, if you grieve the Spirit, if you fight against the Spirit, then he's still going to do some things in your life. It's just going to take a whole lot longer, and maybe it'll be a whole lot more difficult. But I found out, and I think you'll agree with me, God has a way of getting our attention. One way or another. And folks, that's where we come down to this verse 28, which we're going to try and get to here as we finish. And that is that God's going to do a work in your life. All right, let's see here. Verse 15. No, verse 14. I'm sorry, verse 14. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's pretty clear, isn't it?
Amen.
And so if the Spirit is leading you, that's evidence that you are a child of God. I used to have a lady on our bus route in Utah, and she had a hard time getting her to go to church because of some things in her past. But I had no doubt she was saved because it was just clear that the Spirit was working in her life. I might ask you, and I think you can see this, I hope you can you see the Spirit working in your heart, in your life? Doesn't he make differences to you? Doesn't he change the way you think and all the rest? The Spirit of God in us is not this great earthquake that makes us shake or makes us do crazy things, but he works in us, doesn't he? And that's the evidence of one of the evidences of our salvation. All right, so verse 16, he says, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
You ever ask somebody, do you know you're saved? And they say, well, I don't know for sure. Okay, we might need to work on that a little bit. But if you ask me if I'm saved, the thing that I would start doing, I'd say, okay, how do I know I'm saved? I know what the Bible says. And I know that I've done what the Bible told me to do, and I believe that. And the Bible says, if I've called on the Lord, I'm saved. And there's the Spirit confirming that to me in my heart. All right? All right, we got to finish up here. Okay. So let's see. Verse 16 says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And he talks about that we're joint heirs. And I want to jump down to verse 23. He says, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Groaning in agony. Some folks that have been sick lately, I'm thinking of my experience, and don't know that I groaned any, but I know I was in agony, and I wanted things to be different. Do you ever get frustrated because you'd like to be more of what God wants you to be, and it just seems like you just can't make those steps, or you just can't get further along, and your flesh holds you back? Well, I got good news for you. When God redeems our body, that flesh that holds you back is going to be gone. And we all, if we're saved, if you desire to be holy, you understand the flesh holds you back. And it's frustrating. It's like this week laying in bed, my flesh was holding me back. I couldn't get up and do what I wanted to do because I was weak. But one day the flesh is going to be dealt with. And that's going to be a great day. All right, we've got to finish up here. So verse 26, it says, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's the Spirit that does that, not us. Think God knows how to pray for you better than you know how to pray for you?
Yes,
he does. Verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And now here we are back to our verse. We know that all things... What are things? Things. Events. Problems. Good things. Trials. Whatever. You could make a list of all the things in your life this week. And those are things that God has seen fit to oversee. All things work together for good to them that love God. Do you love God? Amen. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And we could say a whole lot about that, but I do believe this. I believe that anybody who is saved, God has a purpose for your life, doesn't he?
Amen.
You have some things around your house, probably I know that I do, that have no purpose whatsoever. If you walk into my house, you'll see when you come into the front room, there's a bookshelf there. And on top of that bookshelf, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I couldn't tell you what half of it is right now. I don't use it. It's something, there's a, I think that's the place, it's either there or another shelf. There's a metal dog. What on earth do you need a metal dog for? Well, it was a gift, and so somebody gave me this metal dog, and it doesn't even look like any dog I've ever owned, I don't think. Is it a dachshund? It may be a dachshund. I can't remember. It's just a dog. And what in the world is that thing up there for? It has no purpose. Folks, God doesn't have Christians that have no purpose.
Praise the Lord.
He wants to do something with you. He wants to use you. He wants to work in you. What's one of the purposes God has in every Christian? Somebody tell me.
Spread the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, that's one. What's another one? A simple one.
Glorify Him.
That's what I was looking for. To glorify God. Joey? Yeah, praise Him. That's really good. I was reading about that in the Psalms this week as well. And so how would you and I glorify God?
Do what He says.
Okay. Obey Him. Trust Him. Amen?
Amen.
we glorify Him when we live a life that is pleasing in His sight. We glorify Him when we don't listen to our flesh, when it tempts us, and when the world and the flesh and the devil come after us, we listen to God instead. And so we glorify God by being what He wants us to be and doing what He wants us to do. And one of the things is praising Him. Can anybody do that?
Yes.
Can anybody here thank God?
Amen.
Yep, any of us could. Can anybody here trust God?
Amen.
Sure. Can any of us here say no to sin? Yep. And so I'm not talking about exclusively, but we can say no to sin. And so these are things that bring glory to God, and He's got that purpose for us. And so I'm going to stop right there and just hop down to verse. Nope, we're done right there. I'm going to leave this handout with you and just mention a couple of things from chapter 15 really quick. In fact, turn to chapter 15, and then we'll close in a word of prayer. Romans chapter 15. All right, so in chapter 15, we have this his closing remarks. Chapter 16 is some greetings that he gives to some people. But here's some thoughts in chapter 15, Romans. Oh, no wonder I'm in 1 Corinthians. No wonder this doesn't make any sense. Romans chapter 15, much better. Maybe not completely back to normal mentally here. Romans chapter 15. Verse 13. Here we go. Ready? Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now listen carefully. I want you to explain this verse to me, okay? He says in verse 13, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. First of all, what is hope?
Believe something that has not happened yet.
The Bible actually kind of uses that definition. It says the hope is something we haven't seen yet, but yet we hope for it.
Waiting.
Sorry?
Waiting
for something, yeah. If I told you guys, come out on visitation on Tuesday, and after we get done, we'll go get a milkshake. And you like milkshakes, you're thinking, hey, this is a pretty good deal. I'll get a milkshake tonight. But you haven't got it yet, do you? But you're thinking, I'm going to get one. Why? Because Pastor Schaefer said so. Well, I'm not nearly as reliable as God is. Now, what are some things God's promised you?
Eternal life.
Eternal life, mansion. What else? Lots of things. Amen? Starting right now. And if we believe God, that's all you need to have hope. You don't have to see it, do you? I can't see heaven. I can't see the mansion. I can't see eternal life. The Bible talks about it a little bit, and I can get some images in my head from what the Bible says. But the Bible says you really can't understand it. It's so amazing. But I know it's coming.
Amen.
So hope, in Romans 15, 13, what he says there is he says that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to cause that hope to abound in you and I. And we like that. Amen. We like for the Holy Ghost to do that. He says in verse 16, he says in verse 15, verse 14. He says, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, also able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And just again, looking at the things the Bible says about the Holy Ghost, the reason Paul did what he did is because the Holy Ghost gave him that job. And we ought to be looking for the job God's got for us. Amen?
Absolutely.
Day by day and life by life. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit worked in him and gave him the job that he had. He mentions a couple of more things. I don't have time. I'll let you look at the handout. I just say this to you about where we started from, and that is the Holy Ghost lives in us if we're saved. He's working in us. He produces fruit. We're going to see that in Galatians later on. If we'll pay attention to what the Holy Ghost wants instead of what the flesh wants, we'll have a better life. And we'll have a life that pleases God. And we'll have peace and some other things that come along with that. And so here's my closing thought. I was thinking about the Lord's statements in Psalm 23 this week. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does the word want mean? To be without something that you need, okay? And so I asked myself, is the Lord my shepherd?
That's good.
Is he?
Amen.
Now, how many of you have ever seen sheep out in the field? Anybody seen sheep for real? Okay, they're really interesting animals. And they're kind of like cats. They've got a mind of their own. But a sheep that has any sense at all will follow the shepherd, because without the shepherd, you know what's out there? Wolves and things that they can eat that can kill them. And they'll starve to death, or they won't be able to find water. Or you may not know it, but a sheep can fall down. It's called casting. A sheep can fall down and not get up. Just can't get up. Just stuck until the shepherd comes along and stands them back up. And you and I are like sheep. And so when we have a shepherd, we need to follow him.
Amen.
And that's what the Holy Spirit is there trying to do in us, is trying to lead us. Now, here's a thought. If you'll give it some of your attention, God will make a difference. But if you refuse to follow, there's some pretty bad things out there, aren't there? And so let's let the Holy Spirit lead us in our lives the way the Bible says we ought to. And He'll take care of us. Amen?